Blog Talk Radio.
Diva of Days of Our Lives, a weekly podcast, and tonight we have a very special guest. We've got Kathleen Gaddy from General Hospital. She plays Lisa Obreck, and we are just thrilled to have you. So welcome, Kathleen.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me. I love that music. That was the Valkyrie.
Yes.
And I don't know if you remember, but there's an episode where I'm with Robin and I'm bringing her with Emma Sams and Tony Geary, you know, Luke and Holly, and I'm bringing her in the wheelchair. She's tied to the wheelchair. I'm bringing her in and I'm going bop ba da bum 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 ba da bum bum ba da bum bum. I'm going, gosh, that music sounds familiar.
Oh, how funny!
Oh, several months ago, but it was great.
Look at a clip of that. I do remember, but I didn't remember the music. Oh my gosh, that's funny.
Yeah, and I'm singing it. Yeah, bop ba da bum bum bum, conducting and singing as I come into the room. And it's like, oh, that music sounds familiar.
We also have Carrie here.
Hi, Carrie.
And Carrie's call screening. Sorry, she's talking to somebody right now. So we'll, Carrie, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Hi, and
hi.
Our co-host Rose is joining us too.
Okay, great.
Hi, Rose. No, I'm here.
Hi, girl.
All right, and then we also have Marianne.
Hi, Marianne.
Hi, welcome, Kathleen. Nice to have you here.
Nice to be with you guys. Dr. Obreck is very happy to be with you this evening. I bring her to you if you want. If you want some Obreck, we bring her also to the table.
Yes.
You slipped
Lisa
into that
be our,
so
be
easily.
A special guest.
Oh my gosh! Well, we just yes. love you. Like I said, a lot of our Days of Our Lives fans also and friends of the show also watch General Hospital, and so we usually devote a certain amount of time, at least a little bit of time each week to talk about General Hospital as well. So we're happy to have
great.
You here.
Oh, we just love
Dr. O and what you've done with it. And I was just curious because, you know, it seems like when you first started, what did you think, you know, when you first got the role, what was the initial, it seems like, it turned into a lot more than maybe what it started out as. So I was just going to see if you could take us through that a little bit and see, you know, share with us how things started out on General Hospital and how things have kind of evolved.
Absolutely. I had, they gave me two episodes. I was cast as this Swiss-German psychiatrist, head of this hospital, where Anna was hidden and Robin was hidden. And I believe Duke was hidden, was tied up, locked away. And all I had to do was stop, I want to say Tony Geary, or who should I show you the character's name? Luke Spencer came to the hospital, to this clinic, to try to find Anna Devane and Robin. So he came there, and all I had to do was kind of thwart him from finding her and just, you know, don't come into this room and don't go into that room. That was one episode to thwart him. It was a Dr. von Schremmermann. I don't know if you guys remember all that. He was hysterical. You know, Dr. von Schremmermann. I'm like, I know who you are. So it was fun. So that was just that one episode with him. And then there was the second episode was where the pseudo-Duke, who was actually Faison dressed in the Duke mask, and he just shows up, and I just had to look at him and say, you know, I'm glad you were hidden, or so. I don't remember the exact words, but and that was it. Goodbye. Thank you very much. Two episodes. Have a nice life. And I went home, and it was fun to work. And I love the studio work. You're in one big, you know, it's playtime. All these like different sets, and over here we have a park, and over here we have an airplane, and over here we have a bedroom, and here we have a hotel. And it's fun. It's playtime. To me, it's like Disneyland.
Oh, yeah.
I'm totally fun. So I was sad when I left. I mean, I've done series regular and series guest star and recurring and episodic and feature films. But here was this, I did a soap a long time ago, All My Children in New York, a couple of months. That was a long time ago, and it was the first time in L.A., and it was so cool. I was like, I don't want to go home. It was so much fun. And the people were great, and I worked with Tony Geary, who was just a dream to work with, and he was fun, and he was professional. It was really great. And then they left, and I also met Ian Buchanan, who's also just, I love working with him.
We love him.
You love him.
I had the pleasure of meeting him just a couple of weeks ago, about a month ago. At a fan event. Yes.
He's just charming and kind and funny and easygoing and just a dream to work with. So here I had all these great people to work with, and I was like, okay, bye. So then I went home. And I guess, I don't know when it was, maybe a couple months later, I got a call saying, you know, come back for a couple episodes. And I was like, okay. I guess going to move somebody from another room to another room. You know, I didn't know. And it was very interesting, and at that point I realized that maybe this could develop because the story, it was open-ended. And every episode I got, it was open-ended. And I was like, okay, do this. Okay, now do that. Okay, now do a little more. Okay, now do something funny. Okay, now me, you know, because basically I came and I was this very uptight, very tough, nasty woman. And then eventually they just let, like, little peaks of different colors of my personality and of Obrecht's personality come out. And between the writers and I guess what they saw in me when I brought to the table, they started developing this really fun character. Not crazy, but smart as hell. I love that. You know, not fearless. I love her fearlessness. I love her bright, intelligent mind, just incredibly fabulous mind. And then there's also this dark side. Then there's this comedic side. Then she's campy, broad, serious, you know, very sincere, loving. It's just, whoa. And then I got to sing. I mean, it's just developed over, you know.
Your singing was wonderful.
Oh, my God.
Oh, thank you.
You made us cry.
Wasn't that Christmas Eve? I think it was Christmas Eve or something. Oh, my gosh. That was amazing.
Oh, yeah.
Well, thank you so much. I mean, I've just been so appreciative of each thing. It's like I get to show more and more. A lot of times you have one role. I'm sure you watch other shows and other characters, and they have one color. I'm a depressed person. I'm always depressed, and that's all I play. Or I'm the cuckoo character, and that's all I play. It's like after a while it gets boring for the actor. One of the reasons we pick this profession is to express every emotion we possibly have and could have, and take you guys, you know, the audience on the emotional journeys. So to just have one color, it's boring and it's not fun. And I've worked long and hard to get into a position where I can do everything. I mean, I'll express all kinds of emotions and characters, and so it's been really fun. And this role has given me a chance to do that. So it's really been a dream job. In a dream role in many ways, especially as they're evolving her. And every time I open a script, it's like Christmas. Like,
what's she going to do next? You know,
I know.
It feels like that for us.
She has a little bit of a heart too. You know,
a little bit. But you know, I'm happy they let me show that, because again, if I'm just mean all the time, nasty, everyone's going to hate me. It's going to get old, and they're like, get rid of me. So every now and then, and also I make major mistakes. Like trying to get that Anna Devane to drink it. Oopsie, wrong glass. And you know, Duke Avery drinks it. Or trying to stab Robin to kill her. Oopsie, stab, you know. Tristan Hodges, you know. So,
I think it says a lot that your character has almost tried to off all of our favorite characters, and yet we still love you.
That's the ticket. The key word there is try. Try.
Yeah, there you go.
Not did, succeeded, but tries. And I think that's hysterical. It's kind of, the character reminds me a little bit of, you know, Inspector Clouseau, or, you know, from the Pink Panther.
Yes.
He's
like
always
to see everybody
trying to
tremble when she walks into the room. Everybody, you know.
Right. But there's always foibles, you know. It's never quite. Try, but it's always something. And it's fun. That to me, again, it keeps me connected with the audience. Otherwise, I'd just be one color and one-dimensional and evil, and everyone would just hate me, and it'd be a short-lived thing.
Sometimes shows have a tendency to make the villain the cartoon character or whatever, and so what we see with Dr. O is that It's like, you know, and what you've brought to it, they obviously saw what, you know, what you could bring to it, and you maximized every opportunity to, like, show those layers. And so you've given them something to work with, you know. You've given them some, you know, a way to you know, brought, you know, give the characters. So it seems like a great partnership between the writers and what you've done and the other actors. But it's like, I mean, just like the scene where, you know, this lady comes in and she's talking about how they you know, General Hospital saved her husband's life or whatever. And,
right.
You know, and,
no.
And you're talking about, well, I believe everyone should have affordable health care and blah, 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 you know. And
right.
then the lady's like, oh, that's so nice. And
right.
Everyone were like that. She goes, but of course, because your husband smoked, he killed
that's
himself,
right.
You know, or whatever. You know, it was, oh, my gosh.
But you know
I
what?
When you read, those things, I bet you just die.
Without laughing.
Oh,
yeah.
I am laughing. I am peeing in my pants, excuse the expression, and laughing my head off. But you know what? The
but
truth is that
keep
particular
a serious
scene,
face. You know?
But that particular scene, it's true. I mean, sometimes Obrecht just says things that are blunt and harsh, but true.
Right, right.
But she's
true.
Fine.
Yeah.
We'll take
that's
care of
what we all want to say.
Yeah, exactly.
She's
yeah.
kind of the voice of the audience. In a lot of ways, she's the voice of the audience. In some,
right.
You know.
You
right.
Idiot.
It's like, you idiot, what'd you smoke for? If you hadn't smoked,
yeah.
then it'd be fine. So here we are kissing your butt, and really, you know, it's your fault. So it's harsh, but some of it is brutal, but accurate.
Yeah.
Like, well, the
yeah.
writers are just, they're brilliant. I'm dreaming of the day when
great
I can go to New York and
G8.
Sit in. Aren't they great? Seriously,
yeah,
they're
they
fabulous.
Are.
And I'm not even just, you know, saying that. I mean, I have worked on so many shows and so much material in 30 years, and lots of stuff have passed my eyeballs and into my brain. And here's this material. It's exciting. It's dynamic. It's got everything. Hopefully for the audience, feels the same way. I get a lot of messages and tweets and Facebook and emails and cards and stuff,
yeah.
and people say, this writing is just exciting because they get everything. They get comedy,
yeah.
they get drama,
yeah.
they get love,
yeah.
they get sex, they get everything. So
yeah.
I think it's a very interesting kind of a show that offers everything, such a wide variety to the audience. So everyone has something. The young kids have
exactly.
young love. The older people, especially like in my age group, we have love. It's like, it's good.
Yes.
Everyone should have
right.
love and drama and everything in every age group. Why just limit it to 20
absolutely.
Year olds?
I love how they use the veteran, you know, more older
right.
actors, where
yeah.
like a lot of other soaps just tend to, they think everybody wants to see the young kids, and you know,
yeah,
but we want to see the veteran actors, and we want to see them have love scenes too, not just the
well,
young people.
And I think
know?
That's genius, because especially for this audience, they've been watching 51 years. Most
oh,
of the
oh,
people
yeah.
are 50, 60, 70, 80 years old who've been watching,
right.
not old, 85, 90 years old. They want to see, I want to see people my age group have love and have
oh,
sex
yeah.
and have emotions.
Right.
It's like, really,
right.
you go to the movies and you see only 20-year-olds having sex or love. It's like,
right.
what happens when you're older? 30, it's over?
Yeah.
Seriously?
Right.
so
I don't know. That's what
some
of them think, I guess. I don't know.
Well, it's
well,
smart, but again, this is smart because the audience is a wide age. We have a lot of new viewers, young
absolutely.
Viewers. We have people that have been watching the show 50 years. How old is
well,
they?
And I think
20?
What we found just with our audience, with the people we tend to, you know, become friends with and everything, we've found a lot of young people that really love the more mature relationships,
sure, right.
the more mature characters.
I find
and
that fantastic.
I think the thing that it speaks to is talent transcends. Talent, entertainment, travel, you know, great writing, great acting transcends age. And, you know, there are a lot of 20-year-old girls that, you know, and that are watching those relationships and loving them. And so
yeah.
definitely, sure, it gives us, you know, more mature audience something too, but the young folks, they enjoy those stories too, and they enjoy the maturity, and they enjoy the layers and the, you know, the depth of that your character and like Teo's playing and stuff. That, you know, they enjoy those. So definitely, I think it has a broad appeal for sure.
I agree. I totally agree.
So it's just been fun. I was thinking back to the Nurses' Ball with
right.
Britta and Mata in the hotel. I think they were in a hotel room or something. And,
right,
and
Metro Court.
The scenes where you're watching the nurses' balls have cracked me up. I don't remember the exact lines, but I just remember, you know, I think that's what it really caught my attention too. That like, oh, she's really funny too. You know, this is a great character. Yeah. So somebody that can be that evil that's going around trying to, you know, off all these people that we love, that we've loved for, you know, 30 years or whatever, and then at the same time we're like, God, she's just so fun. She's just so funny, you know. So I think that's, I think you, you know, and like Marianne and I were talking before that early about a week ago or so about those scenes with Britt and with you. Marianne, did you want to talk about that?
Which one? Okay. Which scene?
The ones where they were talking about the engagement and how, you know, remember the scenes where Britt tells
her that
she's in, yeah.
Last week in the hospital where she's all dreamy and happy about it. I'm saying, are you serious?
Yes.
This can only end badly.
Right.
They kind of bonded there. That was like you could see the real emotion and the caring, like the mother come out of Dr. Obrecht. And because I think Britt even said something to some, she says, I think we made an emotional breakthrough.
Right. And that's exactly what it was.
Yes.
That's exactly what it was. The first thing
there was that little bit of heart that came out of you know.
Yeah, not for long, but it's there.
Yeah.
Not for long.
And
she's trying.
I like
Dr. Obrecht
all
is trying with
different. Yeah.
Different
relationships.
You know what's fantastic? I really appreciate from the writers. Like the first time they let me have a humorous side was the dancing in the hotel when the nurse
falls. Yes, so those were great. I love
that. That was great. So that was the first time the audience saw that. Okay, Obrecht isn't all creepy and weird. She also can be funny and has a sense of humor and has a sense of life and joy. So that was good. That was the first breakthrough. This is a breakthrough. This was last week's breakthrough. You know, Faison is gone. Don't know if permanently or temporarily, but he's out of the picture. And she has no one and nothing. And it's the first time for her to really, Obrecht, to really look at her daughter and say, oh, my goodness, this is a beautiful child that I've always had and I'd never acknowledged her. So I think the fact that they let me have that emotional breakthrough was fantastic. I was so happy about that.
I don't know why she didn't go away with Victor. She could have had
someone.
Oh, I know.
We're glad she didn't go away. But
I mean, really.
But then who's going to run the hospital? Hopefully he'll come back and help me run the hospital.
I even tweeted to the writers, this is, please send Victor Kaftanide to my house with his plane, and I'll fly away with him. You know,
seriously, it was a good offer. I wish I could have taken it. I'm like, let's get out of here. Let's have some fun. And she hasn't had fun in her life in the last 30 years. It's time to have some fun.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So,
exactly.
I'm all for Obrecht having some fun. She
needs
fun
is the one thing missing there,
But she tried to find it in the, you know, the first one was having some fun with the daughter. I mean, just to care about her and stuff. But now I'm having fun with Brad. That's the next person I'm having lots of fun
with. Oh, poor Brad.
I'm really
caught
in the middle there.
I'm not talking sexual fun, just playtime, you know, the cat and the mouse.
Messing with him.
Yeah. Well, the last few days have been just like messing with him and Lucas, and so that's kind of been fun.
Yeah. And the big secret's going to be revealed, I guess, next week, I guess. You know, it ended Friday with Elizabeth finding the letter.
Right.
Saying that Britt, yeah.
Now, I watched, and Britt lit that on fire. So what happened between lighting the letter on fire and...
She picked up the wrong envelope. She laid it down. Because Elizabeth came into the room, and she turned around, and when she turned around, she picked up the wrong one. They were laying side by side.
Oh, thank you.
There was
I guess
stuffed envelopes. Right.
It's
and
so
she
funny.
Thought she had the right one, but she didn't.
We're always asking each other, so what's your character doing? How does it develop? Well, you know, in the makeup room, we're like, so what happens next? And then what happened last week? And you know, understand
so
our
hard.
Stories, how they intertwine.
That must be so hard because your stories are so intertwined. That must be so hard, not knowing what everything is going on.
It is and it isn't. In some ways, it's kind of, it sort of lends itself to the situation where Dr. Obrecht has no idea, although Dr. Obrecht has eyeballs everywhere. But she doesn't really know that part of the story, and it unfolds for her as the show evolves. But on the other hand, there's some things I need to know to help me understand the you know, 2 weeks down the line, how to play this part. So,
right.
And I don't have time every day to watch the show. If I'm in it, I'll watch it, or to somebody I want to see specifically, I'll watch the show. But I don't have time because I'm usually studying 20, 30 pages for the next day. It's
right.
pretty intense learning, so studying and stuff, and getting ready. So I don't really have time. So when I do, I'm like, what's going on? I want to catch up. So I saw a couple of the episodes this last week. I'm like, oh, okay, aha. Oh,
fun. That's what she's doing.
Exactly. It's like, oh, they're kissing. Oh, I had no idea, you know. Who's she in bed with? Slut, you know. No, and I love these guys. They're such a nice group of actors, and it's a great situation.
It's a big cast, too. It's a really big cast.
And those little kids, Spencer and Emma, the kids who play Spencer and Emma,
brilliant. They're adorable. They're brilliant. They're smart, precocious, but in a good way. I mean, just really great kids.
Really good little actors, both of them.
You know, they say don't work with actors or animals because they'll just, you know, the audience just will eat them up and ignore us. We're like, hey, we're the grown-ups here. Pay attention to us.
No,
the kids
are
so cute. We're watching them, too, because they're so cute.
Oh, they are. Well, and so we need to talk about Victor and Liesl a little bit. I know I came up, you know how they have couple names, right? You know,
what did you come up with?
It's not the
you
little
came
naughty,
up with Lichter.
Liesl,
you the one
it's a naughty one. Is that the one you came
I,
up
I
with?
I came up with Lichter, but then I am a tail hoochie, so, you know, the hoochie part in me came up. But, so we're enjoying Lichter. And I really hope that Victor comes back to Salem so that we can see the two of them. I don't know. Now, is Dr. O afraid of him, or what is the deal? She's really not interested in him right now because she's obsessed with, I mean, we all think she should forget about Cesar and move on, Cesar. You know, but
I hope they have a secret.
Probably
the writers will let us know what it is, but we don't know yet. But I think what it is that there was a big change, I hope, that came across when we had the bedroom scene with a mask and Cesar said, wear the mask, wear the Anna mask.
Yeah.
And Dr. Obeck said, no more. That's it. I will not debase myself anymore. That was a very strong statement. The writers wrote it in very strong, bold, that I will no longer. So I think that was the crux and that was the turning point. And yes, she's still, you know, he's the father of her child and of Brit.
Right. Maybe.
There's still a connection. She still admires him. And I always tell people this. You have to remember, I'm sure you have all been in love or been crazy about somebody, whether it's an actor that's unattainable or somebody in your lives or somebody you know. Mm-hmm. We've all had that or have that where you're infatuated with somebody. Sometimes you get over it, sometimes you don't. And that can go on for a lifetime. And I think that happened for a long time with the Cesar Faison character. And I think Obeck carried the torch for him for a long time, but I think that was the turning point, that whole mask, rhythm mask.
Yes.
That was the epitome of, you know, gross, done, finished.
Oh, yes.
But she's not they still have a child. I mean, she's not like, okay, I never want to talk to you or see you or hear your voice again.
Right.
She's still concerned, still worried, but it's I would say 75% lightened. And I hope that comes across because it's sort of it's the direction I've been taking it. The way it's been written is that really he's sort of still important because she was. You know, I went to Anna Devane 2 weeks ago to say what did you do with him? Thank you. That was a very powerful confrontation between two of us. Like, what did you do? But it's also to keep her in her place. And yes, I think Obrecht is upset about Cesar, but it's not that same she's going to die because he's gone. And now that Victor is come back, and they obviously had something a long time ago.
Yeah.
He helped her become the chief of staff. That's a big deal. You don't just give somebody, just a friend, the chief of staff job at a hospital who's basically a major criminal. So there has to have been something there, which, again, the writers haven't given us, so I don't know what our truth is or our history, but it will evolve, I'm sure, at some point, possibly in the future. But there is something there, and I think Victor represents that love that she never had, didn't allow herself to have.
Exactly.
And I think that's scary. I think sometimes...
That's what I sense. Yeah.
Yeah,
she's
afraid
she's to let that wall down with
when
him
she first heard
he's
his
there.
Voice.
He actually is attainable. He wants her.
That's
he
right,
says
right.
He loves her.
That's
and I
right.
think that, I just from seeing the scenes, the way you guys played him, I think she's even though she's fearless, like you said, in this one little area, she's afraid to let her guard
right.
down or something.
Well, I watch the episodes. My husband and I watch every episode I'm in, cause, and I make notes, mental notes.
Uh-huh.
Okay, this sucked. This was good. This I have to do better. This I have to do smaller. This has to be bigger. It's important because I want to keep growing the character, make it better for you guys. It's really
sure.
important to me. And that one, I remember in the script where Teo says, I love you. Right before he leaves, and I just look at him with a blank face. My husband said,
right.
why don't you do something with your face? I went, you know, I should have. But the script said, Obrecht, unreadable. And I left it unreadable, but it was boring.
Oh.
It wasn't a good choice. And the writers put it in. It was really smart, unreadable, but I still could have done something like unreadable, fearful, unreadable, confused, something I could have added, and I didn't. And I was like, shoot, that was just, I just stared at him like, and that's stupid because it doesn't matter, you know, even when it's unreadable, but something is going on in your mind. And I tried to have a blank stare, and it really was a blank stare, but it wasn't interesting. It wasn't a good choice because when he said, I love you, that's powerful. And that
right.
would have, but I couldn't reveal anything to the audience to say, oh,
right.
yeah, that's good, because then the audience will go, aha, she wants him,
yeah.
or,
yeah.
ugh, I don't want him. Then, again,
yeah.
that's a strong choice. This way it leaves it open, but I still wasn't pleased with that. I thought, I should have done something. Like.
But then it does make us wonder, though. I mean, you know, it's kind of both ways. It's like, I see what
right.
you're saying. I totally see what you're saying. But at the same time, we're all like, what? Why doesn't she want him? Or, well, wait a minute. Is
I don't know.
More going
I want to ask
there?
The writers.
So it made, you know, so it made us wonder what was going on there. So I think, and Teo seems like the kind of actor that would be fun to, I mean, I don't know if you guys work things out ahead of time or how, what you do to play off of each other, but you definitely, I knew you would have chemistry before you guys were ever even in a scene together.
Oh, really?
I tweeted to Ron, like, before, you know, when we heard that Teo was going to be back, and just said, I hope these two have some scenes together, because I knew if you two did, I knew that the audience would pick up on it. And sure enough, they're very entertaining and enjoyable together. So we're hoping that we'll see some more of that.
I'm too. Mm-hmm. I'll have to tell you something. When I heard it's him, you know, I Googled him, looked him up, and I went, oh, he sounds so interesting. His background is similar to mine. His family's from Greece, but he was born in Australia. My
uh-huh.
family's from Hungary. I was born in Canada. So I have that European cultural
right.
background, as does he. So we have a lot of similarities, and I thought, okay, this is going to be great. I saw some of his work, and I said, this is a really great actor. I'm looking forward to it.
Right.
And the first day, and I could hardly wait to meet him. We're on set. We didn't meet in the makeup room or in the green room anywhere, so we're both on set. And I'm doing a scene before I start working with him. And here he comes walking in. He had this really nice sweater on. He came right over to me, and we hugged and kissed. I'm not talking tongue and, you know, romantic. I'm just talking like, you know, long-lost friends that hadn't seen each other for many years. And there was this instant bond and friendship.
Oh.
And I'm so grateful because I was so excited. And because my background is, as soon as you meet somebody, you hug them. That's how I was brought up.
Oh.
And he did the same thing. It was so charming, and I thought, thank God. Thank you, God. Yes, you know, this is going to be fun. And it's been a warm, fun. He likes to rehearse, and so do I. We're both in that background where you rehearse as much as you
uh-huh.
can. You know, we get on the set. What's that?
He's a perfectionist.
He's a perfectionist, and I wanted to each moment
uh-huh.
to be honest and real, and the more you rehearse it, the better it becomes, the more honest and real it becomes.
Ooh.
And more natural, instead of like, where do I stand, where do I sit, do I stand up on this line and go here, instead of, who is this person, what do I want in this moment, what do I need from him? There's so many things to think about in each acting moment.
Yeah.
Everything has its beats and its moments, and you recreate reality to make it seem honest and real. So,
yeah.
And we both take it seriously, and it's just a delight. So I really enjoyed working with him, and I hope we get to do more.
Oh, we hope so
yeah.
too. And we do have some requests, though. We've planted a
sure.
seed with him as well, but and we've also tweeted to the writers. But we need a tango. We need them to do a tango. Wouldn't that be awesome?
That would be great.
For Dr. O and Victor to have a tango, the power play, the tension, the, ooh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
We need to have one of those.
I love it because they're both really sharp and smart cookies, and they both have their agendas and missions, and the two of them against each other. That's a fun idea.
Yes. So
I might step on his toes, though, and can't be comedic. And I might just turn it into a comedy. So not sure about that. But
well, either way, whatever way we can get one, we need to figure out how to work that in.
Sounds good to me.
We think that would be a lot of fun. And anytime you feel like you possibly can, like, unbutton a button or two of his on his shirt, no problem. We would be totally fine with that.
Yeah. Like, he's been pretty buttoned up.
Yeah, too many
like
shirts
shirt,
and ties.
Tie,
you know,
a vest, ties. A jacket. He's had, poor guy's got lots of layers on.
I know.
He's got to lose some of that. And we've told him that before, you know, loosen his tie a little bit. Open that shirt.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, that's neat that you guys bonded like that. That's really, really cool. I just have this sense beforehand, because we've talked behind the scenes before about this, but I just have a sense that you two would be like kindred spirits or something. I don't know.
It feels that way. It's funny you say that. It definitely feels that way, that we are kindred spirits. Absolutely.
So we definitely need some more of that. So we'll be lobbying the writers on that.
You go ahead. I'll leave that up to you. Go for it. I second the motion. You have my blessing.
All right. Well, hey, we have Carrie. Do you want to bring Tony on? It looks like there's a Tony's in the
you. Okay. Tony?
Yes.
I'm there
on.
He is.
Me? Again, I'm on. Kathy?
Yes. Kathleen?
Kathleen, sorry. Kathleen.
I've been called Kathy since I was a kid. Hi, who's this?
Well, I guess you noticed, didn't we just do this a week ago? This is Tony from Sacramento.
How you doing, Tony? How's your role going?
You know what? I finally got the lines. Everything's done. Everything's there. And we're going into tech this week, and then we start running a week from today.
Fantastic.
Weekends only. It's a short little show. It's only about an hour.
Let's hear the accent.
Well, now... I have to be careful. I was slipping to Irish. The Yorkshire accent's is sort of that sort of sound that everything sort of in the back of the throat, you know, and especially when they're talking about things, love, they sort of get those you sort of funny
That's
sounding,
great.
You know. Yeah.
That's great.
So, but anyway, how you doing?
Great. I had a week off so I could do interviews, and next week I'm back into the work full time. So ask me what you want now before I disappear into the abyss of work.
Listen, you know, whoever came out, I just enjoy listening to you, you know, these interviews and stuff, but whoever just came up with the idea of the tango, brilliant. And I'll
I love that idea, too. It's not my idea, but I like it.
Well, this is why, to me, why it's brilliant. Last year at the Nurses' Ball, there was deal.
There was a
with
tango.
Anna.
Yeah.
Yep.
And because that was their signature dance.
That's
and
right.
If they were to be able to work that out with you and Victor doing that and just shooting these looks of I can do it better than you can sort of thing, that would be so cool.
that would be.
So we
I hadn't really thought about that. That's a great idea, Tony. I thought about the tango, but I was thinking more of it in a private setting, but Nurse's Ball would be bad and then shooting your Canada look. That would be good.
Well, you know, Kathleen, as I may have mentioned to you, I had lunch with a dear friend of mine a few days ago, and we were chatting about you and the whole Nurses' Ball thing. And I came up with an idea, and I said, I don't usually spout these ideas out, that's the writer in me coming out. But you're going to have, obviously, there's going to be the epic confrontation with the head nurse, Epiphany.
I'm looking forward to that. I hope so.
And what I thought, I said, it would be so phenomenally cool if they would just think, we got two singers on the show, let them have the knockdown drag out, and then have somebody on the hospital staff come up with the brilliant idea to have them do a duet. And
that'd be great.
Make them do a duet.
That girl has pipes on her. Sonia Eddy has incredible voice. In fact, we were talking about my breakthrough moment on General Hospital last year at the Nurses' Ball. I was in the Metro Court in the hotel watching the Nurses' Ball and started dancing to when Sonia Eddy was singing Jump. And I was singing, I was dancing, and that was my breakthrough moment. That was Obrecht's moment to have a little fun, first time. And I thought, that girl has incredible voice. Ugh. I can't keep up with her singing. She's just awesome.
I got to tell you, she said the same thing about you.
Oh,
exact same
thank you.
Thing. Exact same thing, yeah.
Wow. Wow.
So,
that's a compliment from her. She's got some voice. Oh, unbelievable.
And I think that would probably just between you guys, if you were to get to do something like that it would be like a triple hoot. Just a triple hoot.
Yeah, it would be.
Yeah, just as singers. How are you looking forward to, I'm curious, this thing with Victor? Hopefully it will pan out, because I'm pretty, you know, we all are pretty sure he's coming back. But do you see it being able to actually play it out as a love interest?
I think it's very possible. This is pure speculation because it's not, haven't seen any scripts, don't know if he's coming back, I don't know any of that stuff. So pure speculation, I would say that they've known each other obviously a long time, because that has come out in the writing that was a long time ago, Victor, and he said we had something once, we could have it again. And I think the fact that she hasn't had love and hasn't felt that warmth, that she missed all that, and that's why she said to her daughter, you have the happiness I haven't had. Maybe it's her turn to be happy, and as we were talking with the girls earlier, it's okay for older people to have love and warmth and sex or whatever it is. Their needs to have their emotional and physical needs met for every age group. So it would be a blessing, really, for us to show that to the audience, that yes, we're older, uh-huh. There is love, and whether it was started years ago or we're just starting it new. She's hungry for it. She needs it.
And I'm hoping
she will get it. I don't know. You know, again, I'm not sure, depending on actors' availability and writers' decisions direction. But I see that the writers have been so great with me and with the character. Mm-hmm. They've given her lots of colors and lots of quick change. It hasn't taken 5 years to evolve that, oh, there's a moment of love or there's a moment of joy. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's every episode something different comes up, and I love that variety. And so I'm hoping that might happen with Victor or someone else, but something real for her and not just a pipe dream. That an actual physical person who's there, who's really kind and kinder. Kindness is not something she knows. And I've likened her relationship with love to Manav Mancha, you know, Dulcinea. That character where she was basically a street woman, and to her the familiarity is toughness and cruelty. And all of a sudden here's somebody who wants to give her love and tenderness, and she doesn't know what to do with it. So I'm hoping that Obrecht will slowly find that and be able to accept it. And Victor could be a great candidate. I'm open to that.
Sure.
Holy,
I saw in you and your, just in general, there were a couple of little moments that you had the character show that sort of a little vulnerable side, just mm-hmm. a little bit. And she's obviously somebody that is extremely passionate. She may be, you know, of the German, most people, I know I do, have always thought that, you know, Germans are kind of, you know, staunch. But there's a passion there, and it is so obvious.
Right.
So I hope they let you just turn that loose. And, oh, my God, well, who better to turn it loose on than Teo Penguin? Come on. You got the honey pot there, girl.
He is pretty young, isn't he?
Well, yes, he is. As a matter of fact, we won't go there.
All right.
By the way, if I don't say this, Marianne.
Yes.
Just wanted to say hi, sweetie.
Hi, Tony. How have you been?
I've been.
Is that Mama Hooch you're talking to? Or?
That's Mama Hooch.
The one and only
that got a mention on the show about a year and a half ago.
Wow.
Remember that when he.
Yeah.
Say what he's. You know, Ian actually somehow got that into the script, and he said, "Anna said, who are you hiding? You hiding some old counter or something?"
Oh, that's great!
Yeah.
As soon as we heard it, we all knew what it was. We knew.
That's funny.
Knew what it was. Well, I'm again. I'm sure there's other folks calling in, and so I don't want to be a pig. But ma'am, you are just such a delight. And
thank you.
Yeah, let's see if maybe we can actually break through the barrier and meet in the real world one of these days.
That'd be great. I'm doing actually a couple of events. I'm going to be at the General Hospital Fan Club weekend in Los Angeles. I'm doing an event August 3rd.
Oh, awesome.
We're going to have August 3rd in the afternoon.
Awesome.
And then I'm going to be in Orlando, Florida, November 9th. I'm doing a show there. And probably in Boston, September 7th or 6th, I believe. So you can,
awesome.
If you're interested, you can follow that up on the
Fan
Club
weekend. Sacramento is like about 7 hours, I think, from L.A.
From L.A., yeah.
If I can, it would just be such a wonderful thing. But anyway,
you guys, it'd be great to meet all of you.
Absolutely. Okay, I shall quietly bow out and allow them. But don't anybody cut
Tony,
me off.
Tony, thanks for calling again
and
break a leg. Knock him dead in
the
show.
Thank you, Kathleen. I really appreciate it. Don't. I'm going to keep listening, guys. So just keep me plugged in and muted.
Yeah, well.
Take care.
Thanks, Tony.
Thank you.
Bye, Tony.
I was wondering if there was anybody on the show that you could work with that you have not worked with, or anybody anywhere that you have not worked with. Do you have a preference of who that would be?
I would love to work with Maura West.
She's just
been a blast. I really love her personality. She's been kind and fun, and I think it'd be fun if Ava and Liesl face off. I'm not sure what their relationship would be, if they would team up or be against each other, but I think that would be fun. It was great because people kept asking me last year, who do you want to work with? And I said, well, I worked with Sonny, Maurice Bernard, on All My Children 25 years ago. It'd be kind of fun to work with him again. And sure enough, a month later, I'm in jail with him. And I was like,
oh my gosh, that's so cool.
So, the longer I'm on the show, the more I get to work with, the more people I get to work with, and I almost work with practically everyone. So it's kind of fun. Every time I get a script, I'm like, ooh, goody, who do I get to work with today? And it's really exciting. So I can't say I have preferences. That just everyone has been so much fun to work with, and I love the variety. It never gets stale because it's always somebody new. Or if it's the same person, it's like, oh, goody, we can evolve this. And I've loved working with Kelly because our relationship is growing, the mother-daughter.
Yeah.
And the longer we work together, it becomes more natural and organic because it's like, spend more time. And working with Finola has been great because also we have this playful, feisty thing going on. And she loves her, so we just work it, and she really gets into it, and I love that. I nothing like a good, strong actor to, especially a big fighting scene. Have it out. So it's just been great. And then working with Teo, I hope we get to do more of that. Everyone's been fantastic, and everyone's got a different personality, as do I. So it's interesting how we play off of each other and what we bring to the table. So it's been really fun. So no preferences. I'm just excited about the next, who's next? Who's my next victim? Basically.
I think we're all excited for that. Wait, do you have a specific charity or any kind of passion that you do, or what do you do as a hobby as well? Like art or anything like that?
I know I have no talent for art, but I...
A couple of art.
Now, I do have some charities I like, but I really... My favorite things, I do like puzzles. Spend time, and I raised turtles, freshwater turtles, for years. That was my big passion. I had five of them, and then I brought one to L.A. with me called Gigi. This turtle was just fabulous, and like a dog, it was so great. The other four turtles were like, give me food, lady, and leave me alone. This one is like, when I start singing, it would come out of the water just to listen. It would follow me around my home. It was so cute. But I found I was traveling a lot with my work, and I gave it to this place I had to give it away for adoption because I couldn't take care of it anymore. It was kind of sad. And so that was heartbreaking a couple years ago. But I loved turtles. I always go, and every time I see it somewhere in a fountain, there's turtles. I go running over. Is my turtle here? Gigi, are you here? So I love turtles, and I love... There's so many things I love to do. I really love going to the movies, which is crazy because I just sit there going, that was such a great acting moment.
What was the last one you saw?
I just saw one today that was, I don't even remember. It was the Grand Hotel Budapest.
Have you seen Divergent yet? I think that's the big one this weekend.
Which one? Divergent? No, that was scary and creepy. I can't see anything scary, creepy, futuristic, and anything about the future and the world being destroyed. I can't do. It's like, nope. Don't want to know. Don't want to see.
Specific types of movies then.
Yeah, I'm kind of a baby with certain things. I sort of.
Yeah. You know, I'm not a horror movie gory. I don't like any of that.
No, really. That's really, really hard for me. So I can't see that stuff. But I do. If I have any time at all, it's going to movies and doing crossword puzzles, but actually jigsaw puzzles.
Like
3,000 pieces, 1,000 pieces.
Oh,
and cool. My husband keeps me occupied. He's like, get me out of trouble because I love to stay busy. And he's like, here's a puzzle for you.
Yeah,
leave me alone.
You know, I've got to give your husband a suggestion. One year for my grandmother, she always had a table full of puzzles being done, and we could never eat at the dining room table. So one year for Christmas, we bought her a new trash can for the kitchen, okay, because she needed, her trash can was getting old, but it was usable, so she would never replace that trash can.
Right.
So we bought her a trash can for her kitchen. And in the trash can, when she opened it, we had 10 puzzles, not in boxes, but actually in pieces. And so she actually spent the entire next year putting every single one of those puzzles together.
I love that, actually, for Christmas, too. I'm so easy to please. My husband's like, what would you like for Christmas? Oh, I'm like, a puzzle? You know, when I was 13.
You've got to mix them, though. You've got to mix them up, you know.
You
throw those puzzle pieces in there together.
Seriously, I have to think big, because when I was 13, my family's like, what do you want for your birthday? And I said, black olives and shortbread cookies. And that's what I got. I'm just so stupid, you know. I have to say something about puzzles. I was just telling my husband my realization. My mother was sick about in 1990-91. After I was on all my children, I was moving to LA, and I stopped by in Victoria in Canada, and to visit her every summer. I used to visit her for a week, and it turns out she was terminally ill with cancer.
Aww.
So it was a really rough year. Anyway, in the last month, she was in hospice, and in hospice they had this big table, and there were 10. They always had 10 people that were dying, and their families would all meet in this central area, and there was a table with a puzzle. And we would all put a few pieces together and talk and share each other's trauma that we're all going through, and it just really helped give each other strength so we could go back to our individual rooms and deal with our loved one dying. It was a very powerful, very, very difficult time, but there was this puzzle that we all kind of shared and played together for a few minutes. And I never forgot that. So I think that part of that stays with me. And it's like every time I do a puzzle, I start getting emotional. I think of my mom.
Aww.
It's sort of a nice, it's a nice feeling. So I think it's part of it.
Aww.
But anyway, I thought it was a great idea. And I was telling my husband that story the other day. I said,
And that helps you get entertained for hours and hours and hours. They have 10 of them jumbled together.
It's true. And 10 of them,
yeah. You've got to put 10 of them in there.
He got me 3 last, I guess, about a week and a half ago, and I just finished 1. But I can't touch the other 2 because I've got a lot of work coming up in GH. And so we made a deal. Until you're done with this date, you cannot touch another puzzle. I'm like, okay. Because I'm like, no, I have to go study. I cannot be playing puzzles. I have
that's
to entertain the
words,
audience.
That's why I'm with Words with Friends. I start getting on a roll with that, and it's like, I can't. It's like a little addiction.
Well, it's seriously an addiction. I'm like, once I get started, I have to finish. It's like an assignment. I have to complete it. Like, no.
Well, I'm sure Anna has a caller on the line, and so I just want
to
make sure that we also say. Oh, I dropped a couple of times too. I do want to turn around here while I've got a chance, though, and wish Anna here a very happy birthday from yesterday.
Absolutely. Happy birthday to you.
Thanks.
Dr. Obrecht is wishing you a very happy birthday. Very
happy. Well, that's very cool. Well, thanks a lot.
A brand new year. Brand new, exciting new year. Love that.
There you go. Yep. Well, thanks. Well, you know, when you brought the puzzles, I was thinking, too, I'll bet you that similar to what you're doing as an actress, putting the puzzle pieces together of a character. Like,
it's true.
I don't know, I could see that process, you know, I don't know. Putting the puzzle pieces together with building a character's history and all that would be kind of a similar, I don't know, similar thought process, maybe a little bit. I don't know.
Very much. It's interesting you say that. Very much. Each piece, like here, this fits here, and now this emotion fits with that, and what, you know, responding to what that person says, that's another piece that fits together, and that connection to this relative and how that relates. And so, yeah, absolutely.
Exactly.
It's a very good point.
Yeah. So, and so are you were you raised in Victoria, Canada?
I actually was. I was born in Montreal. My parents left Hungary in 1956, and they went to. There was a revolution going on, and they were like, you know what? We've seen enough people die. Let's go to Canada. So, because my grandparents were there, my father's parents, so they went to Canada. They were actually in a plane crash, and several people passed away, but my parents survived. And turns out my mother was pregnant with me. So they ended up in a sanatorium, I think, for a few months. But they ended up in Montreal, and I was plopped out of Montreal. I guess I was, as I always say, I'm made in Europe, but I was plopped out, but born in Canada.
Oh, my God.
So,
well, so they were in a commercial plane crash?
Yeah.
And you were in womb.
In womb,
oh,
but my mother
God.
Did not know. I was an accident. I was not planned. They were leaving the country, starting a new life. They're immigrants. I was definitely not planned. As my parents would point out, yes, darling, you were an accident. You were not planned and really the last thing they needed. But they tolerated me and they put up with me. But and then went to Montreal. And then when I was around 9 or 10, the summer I turned 10, we moved to Victoria. My father was a symphony conductor, and he got a job conducting the Victoria Symphony in British Columbia. So we drove cross-country in a camper my parents built, and we lived in Victoria. And that's where my mother was when she passed away. That was the last place in 91. Oh. So that was kind of where I grew up. And then I left when I was like 17 and a half, and I moved to Seattle, went to university, studied ballet and singing and acting. And then New York.
I'm sorry. Seattle's great. Where did you move to school?
I went to Seattle for a year and a half and to study at the University of Washington to study Russian and Hungarian and ballet and singing and acting and dancing. And I studied some dance with First Chamber Dance Company, and then I went to New York right after that it's a long story. I was going to go to Russia, and I wanted to dance with the Bolshoi. But I went to New York, and I did some modeling and acting, and that's where I really started. I switched from dancing to acting. I had an injury that summer, and I decided to just go into it. It was a blessing. Really, really grateful that happened, because now a lot of my friends are retired now, and they don't know what to do because they can't dance at a certain age. But that was a really good thing that happened, because I had to stop and say, okay, I can't dance anymore. And I had done a lot of acting and singing and modeling and stuff. I said, okay, what's my focus now? So I had to switch gears. And then I just went to New York and studied acting. And I spent 10 years in New York.
Wow. You mentioned Rose was in Seattle, right? Rose,
yes, I do.
Oh, great. I love Seattle. Nicest people. A lot of rain,
I just have to wonder, though, what inspired you to become an actress?
The truth is, I grew up in a musical family. My father was a symphony conductor, as I mentioned, and my mother was studying to be she was an opera singer in Europe.
Oh, okay.
And then they came to Canada, and I was brought up in the arts. We had music, and I went to the theater, and I saw dance, and I heard the music, and I felt I needed to express myself. I didn't know how, and my first introduction to self-expression was through dance, because my parents sent us to dance lessons. I have a sister, and the two of us would take dance classes. She hated them, and I found myself there. My calling was, here was a way I could express. I was three. I'm like, I can express myself. And my whole life, there's a way, you know, you try to express yourself. And I was so grateful when I found out that there are words, because dancing, it was limited. I didn't have the right body. I was struggling with weight. I had all kinds of challenges, but I couldn't find another way. It was my vehicle to express every emotion, and I have so many, as everyone does, but I have tons, and I found this dance was the way, but I couldn't physically do the way I wanted to. I wanted to be a prima ballerina. That was my goal. And
I could have
helped
you.
That wasn't going to happen. What's that?
I could have helped you.
We have a visitor.
Oh! Hi, visitor. Who's that?
Is this Kathleen?
This is. Who am I speaking to?
Oh, my God. You've forgotten me already. I knew that was going to happen.
Oh, no.
Is it you? Is
oh,
it
my
you,
God,
Victor?
Is it you?
Oh, my darling, where have you been? And you can help me be a ballerina? Is it too late? Can you help me now? Hey, you help me with the WSB, can't you
the
help
tango,
me with
the tango.
I miss you. I miss you. How fun to hear you. I'm blabbering away and you're sitting there in the shadow.
Well, you know, I heard that you're going to be on, and I don't mean to interrupt your conversation.
No, please, please. It was a monologue. It wasn't a conversation. I was blabbering ad nauseum. How good to hear from you. Where are you?
Yes, Randy? Are you doing well?
Us together. I'm great, but I'm missing Victor. Where is Victor? Where are the chocolates? I need more chocolate.
More jewels, I think.
Nah, forget the jewels. I'm all about chocolate. I was telling earlier, it's all about the shortbread and the black olives and chocolate. Forget the jewels. Who needs that stuff? You can't eat it.
So what have you been doing as the character?
I've been trying to bond with my daughter. I'm trying to keep the baby, my grandchild.
Uh-huh.
And let's see, probably the girls can help better. I forget so many things have happened, and so many things are coming up that I can't say. Right now there's an engagement party for Britta, my daughter. She's supposed to be marrying Nicholas, and they have this child that's really belongs to Dante and Lulu, and I think last week is slowly evolving that everyone's finding out it's not really our kid, and that I was terrible and stole this embryo, which is now the child. So that kind of thing. And
how is some new actors have come on board, haven't they?
Yes. There's a couple of new people. I've met one beautiful, beautiful girl, Vanessa Antoine, I believe is her name.
Uh-huh.
A love interest for one of the characters, and she's supposed to be a bad girl. And she's just beautiful and sweet, just really, really nice. And I'm trying to think who else is new. Girls, you want to help out? Who's new on the show? Maybe they
Yeah. I'll give you a hint. How about Knots Landing?
Oh, yes.
I saw her, Donna Mills. She's awesome. I saw her
on
the show.
I studied with her with Milton.
Did you really?
Yes.
She's fabulous.
Yeah. And who is she playing?
She plays Nathan's mother, Ryan, that cute young boy with the big blue eyes.
Yes.
She
yes.
plays his mother, Ryan.
And yeah.
Sorry, Nathan West. She plays his mother.
Yes.
That's his mother?
Yes.
Oh. They don't look alike.
No.
Well, and then isn't Donna Mills plays the mother of Nina, too, or so? So
yes,
Nina,
correct. Thank
Nina
you. Yes,
and Nina and Nathan. Oh, how convenient. Nina and Nathan.
That's right.
our brother and sister. Okay, gotcha.
Right.
She's a lovely lady. She's a very attractive woman, a lot of style.
Beautiful, classy, really, really nice, and she just seems to be doing a really, really good job. So have fun. Do you know her well, or you just study with her and that you lost touch with
her?
Well,
I don't know her well. I mean, we spoke a number of times in class, but I always remember she being a very lovely actress and nice person. And but I did see her, the ad on her, and I thought she looked wonderful.
She looks awesome. She's a beautiful woman. What is it? Everybody on that show is like 4'3" and 80 pounds. I tower over everybody. I'm one of the monsters there. It's like I'm 5'6", 140 pounds. I'm like, come on, guys, seriously, you know? Everyone's half my size. That's I feel like a monster. Only my daughter is a little taller than me, Kelly. She's a little bit, a couple inches taller. It's like, phew.
Are any of the Cassidines coming back? Have you heard?
I don't know, but I hope you're coming back. I'm we're all salivating. Is he coming? Is
yes,
everyone's
we
like,
are.
Everyone is drooling.
And
they want me
to
make sure
Worcester.
You have at least one shirt unbuttoned, one button off your shirt, so bit by bit. Okay, we have to do something about those buttons, you know, that the
yes.
tie and the vest that has to go.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, keep the audience out. Happy.
Maybe she seduces him.
Maybe.
Oh.
Maybe.
Yeah,
you one
maybe
never knows.
I mean, you were so in charge. But you know what? It was kind of nice because I heard from a lot of people that the chemistry that you and I had, and it's kind of softened you, which was nice.
Yes, thank you. That's
yeah.
great.
Yeah, it was lovely working with you. I mean, I enjoyed that. That was, at least it allowed me some humanness with the character rather than the exposition I had and telling and getting Robin off the canvas.
Right.
And then, of course, people
fantastic.
Blame me for getting rid of her, and I'm thinking, oh, God, people, you know, I didn't write this. And also, you know, she wanted to go because she wanted to be a director. So
that's right. Absolutely. It's got nothing to do. You're just helping her so she can go direct. Sure. So they can't be mad at you. I remember when I stabbed Tristan Rogers' character, Scorpio, a year and a half ago. And he was mad at me, and so was everybody in the audience. Why would you do that? I'm like, because they paid me to say these lines and to stab him with a thing. I don't know. And he had to go or whatever. It wasn't my fault. And it's so funny. He came back on the show briefly. And I said to him, you know, I'm so sorry I did that. He goes, oh, are you kidding, love? It's all good. It's all good. And he gave me a kiss. It was totally cool. But I really felt badly. I didn't mean to stab you. I'm so sorry. And the same thing with you. You didn't mean to throw Robin out. That's what
How far ahead are you with scripts now? I mean, is it 2-3 days before?
No, it's about 3-4 weeks.
The scripts?
Oh, you mean when I physically get them in my hand?
Yeah.
Oh, I just have my first episode for next week. That's all I have. So, because the show's been dark for a week. I think they start up again on Monday, and I'm not going back till Friday, and then I'm going to be on for a while.
Ah.
Have you been watching?
Do you have your dates?
I do right now. Do you have some dates?
Well,
can we
tell you what. Why doesn't one of the girls give you my phone number? Can you call me after the show and I want to talk to you?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. That would be marvelous.
Yeah, so call me because I'm home and we'll talk because I can't talk publicly.
No. This is no.
Oh, sure you can, Teo.
Oh, yeah,
go
sure.
Go right ahead.
Come on, right here. That's
nice. Okay, I'm sending you my number, too, here. I'm direct messaging you my phone number.
So have you had good things to play?
Really good stuff. I can tell you about it later, but I can't on the air, because the audience is, they're in for some major shocks coming up, starting next
Ooh.
Week. It already started Ooh. Last week, but the fun starts next week. I mean, it's just
Ooh.
Crazy. And I'm on pretty much every day, I think, for the next
Yay.
Couple of weeks. There's a lot of crazy
Oh, good.
Yeah.
And then don't you break in April?
There is another break. I mean, yes, you know, they shoot a couple weeks, and then they're dark, and then they shoot a couple weeks. And this has been a week off. I'm kind of breathing. I was telling girls I'm playing puzzle and relaxing, but now I'm going to start working again. Yeah, I think we're dark again on the 18th till the end of the month into May.
Yeah, yes, that's what I gather. I was going to go away to Iran, but I postponed it till the summer. But I've been working in finishing everything with the book. And
this is your second book.
No, the first book. I mean, I cannot tell you the details that happens after you finish writing the book. I mean, it's exhausting. It's, you know, I had to write another chapter, and so, but I saw the book, and it looks great. I was very happy with the result of it. I'm going to do, I think, an evening of where I'm going to discuss my journeys and also the book at the Beverly Hills Playhouse.
Oh, fantastic. Let me know, and if I'm free, I definitely want to come.
Yeah, so...
Oh, and we if so, we definitely need a picture tweeted to us of Liesl and Victor.
Oh, yeah.
Shameless plug there.
Another one.
Another one, that's
many.
Right.
Many, we have many.
Has Spencer been on?
The little kid?
Nicholas.
Oh, he's so cute. He's
Nicholas,
so cute.
Yes, he's adorable. I have a picture with him.
Oh,
I mean, the
interview that Ron had done on the Soap Opera Digest, he mentioned how much he enjoyed and thought it was a hoot, the chemistry between me and my great-great-nephew.
Oh,
that
yeah.
But listen, I've missed you, and it's
me too.
But I've been really busy with another project, and so when, but call me after you finish, and I'll catch up with you.
Okay, I just tweeted you my phone number, direct message. Probably sent it out to everybody, but hopefully it was a direct message. So you can call.
Yes, hopefully it was. Otherwise, I'll be getting a lot of free
text.
Oh, Teo, I missed you too. It was such a blast. I don't know if you heard me blabbering on and on about you ad nauseum, but I said it was so great to work with you. And, you know, I was just telling the girls when we first met, we hugged each other. It was like I just long-lost friend. It was so great.
Yes.
I hope we get to do more. Everyone loves our chemistry, and my husband's like, oh, you guys are really good. This is great. He's totally excited, too. So I want to meet him. I want to meet him. He seems like a great guy. I said, no, it's
not true. I think I'm going to take the glasses off the next time I see you.
Yes, ooh. That's the other thing, yeah.
But that's better. That way you can't see my wrinkles. That's good. Good. I like it.
All right. So how long are you going to be on the show now this evening?
I don't know.
I think we're about wrapped up. I mean, you know, we can wrap any time. You know,
probably about 5 minutes.
Yeah.
All right. So I'll give you a call in about 10 minutes.
Perfect. Okay.
All right. Well, listen. Thank you very much.
Thank you for calling, Teo.
Thank you for calling. Seriously, that was great. What a great call-in. Perfect. Now you said you could help me be a ballerina.
What a way to finish the show, right?
I was explaining how I was going to, you know, this dancing ballerina, and you said you could help me. So now help me be a ballerina.
we need pictures and video.
Well, yeah.
Scary.
You know, I did study dance in New York for 3.5 years, and then
really?
I did a show in New York called Jockeys, where I played the choreographer. And,
wow. When was that?
That was in the late 70s.
I was there in 79. I moved to New York in 79. I studied at Luigi's. I did some jazz.
Oh, I
were
see.
You there?
Yeah.
David Howard.
All right, well, listen, nice to talk to you, but I'll call you in a few minutes.
Okay.
All right, everyone. Good
Thanks
evening.
Thanks for calling,
Teo. Nice.
We love you.
That
All
was
right.
a great surprise. Thanks. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Oh, that made my day.
So we
that
got
was, that. Well, you did. Okay, that was awesome. Thank you. How
well,
great.
I don't know about you, but, you know, being a hoochie and all, I wouldn't want to talk to a bunch of girls much longer. I'd want to get on the phone with him.
Yeah, really? Sorry, I was in the way. I'm sorry.
So we totally
okay,
understand.
I got to go. He wants me. We understand. He wants to talk to you.
I mean,
you
have to
ask that
up. No.
No,
well,
that was
great. It's nice that your husband's on board with this whole TV relationship.
Oh, he's just really excited about it. He goes, yeah, that's really, really good. He's totally behind it. So
that's wonderful.
That's really good.
Oh,
he even watched
so
the kiss, and he was good
talk.
With it.
That was
I
fun.
Love that guy. How fun! That's just great. Thank you. That was a really nice gift. That was great. So.
Yeah, he's a sweetie. Oh, we're so happy.
Anyway,
go ahead.
No, I was going to say, are there any more callers or?
We had some Blog Talk drops people. Unfortunately, some of our own people have been dropped a couple times tonight, so it's a little glitchy.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure where they were on here, but they dropped. So. I think we've got everybody that had that's still on anyway. And I know you guys want to talk, but we've just had so much fun tonight. This has been great.
This has been great.
Love
Thank
what you're
you.
Doing, and we appreciate you giving of your Saturday evening to talk with us. And we definitely will keep cheering you guys on, and we are definitely looking for the tango. We're definitely
Thank
looking
you.
For some more Liesl and Victor, so
Excellent.
we'll be excited if we get to see that, and we wish you well. And you know, I don't know, did anybody else want to say anything before we let her go so she can talk to Teo?
I want to say
talk
thank
to my
you.
Future love interest there.
Make sure you give our love to him, and I wanted to say thank you so much for making Dr. O such a huge character with so many layers to her. It's been great watching her evolve and watching the onion be peeled. So I just wanted to say thank you myself. So
well, I thank you very much for your time and for caring, and it's just been great. The support, it's fantastic. I really appreciate it.
Aww. Marianne, are you there?
Marianne's been dropping.
Oh,
yeah,
she's been
dropping all night.
Yeah, she's been one of the
yeah.
ones that her Blog Talk keeps dropping her. So sorry about that. But she would say goodbye as well.
Tell her to say goodbye, and thank you guys again. And hopefully we'll see you guys or meet you or talk to you again
soon.
Oh, I
hope so. I hope we can meet you someday.
Hello?
Kathleen,
okay.
This is a delight.
Hello?
Thank you.
Kathleen?
Wait, there's
yeah.
Marianne.
Yes.
Hi, yes. Thanks. I just want to thank you again, and hopefully that you and Teo, maybe if he does come back, or if he comes back, maybe both of you could come on the show again.
That would be
back.
Fun. Have the both of us on.
Yes.
Really fun. Absolutely.
Yes.
I'm in.
Okay.
Ian. Okay. All right, yeah. Guys. Thanks
all
again.
Right. Thank you.
Lots
so
of love.
Much.
And really appreciate it. Okay. Take care.
Bye-bye. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Good night, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Bye.